Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hi, listeners. I'd like to invite you to visit our website at organicgardenerpodcast.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, download our ebook on organic gardening basics, and get started on building your very own organic oasis today. Welcome to the show today. I'm super excited to introduce another person that I met at the Aero workshop. I think you're really going to like this interview. It's with a woman who makes movies out of New York. Her project is called the Climate Listening Project. One of the very first people she interviewed is one of my heroes, Bill McKibben. And so she's going to tell us today about her wonderful story, her passions, some of the people that she's, interviewed and been making movies about, and some of the projects she has going on. So welcome to the show, Dana Ruggiero.
Thank you so much, Jackie. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. I love your website and your photography is just amazing. And, you know, I love your passion and the way you teach people about, how to take care of our planet and just different things. So, and just the whole Climate Listening Project, just the name just, strikes a chord. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about, you know, maybe start with like who you are and how you got started in this.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely am currently the creator and producing the Climate Listening Project, and it is a storytelling project. I sort of created it about a year ago, and I have some great partners, and that's what makes the project really fun and, you know, just collaborative, basically. So we have a lot of photographers and videographers. Andrea Deske of K23 Media is my primary videographer and editor. And then we work locally with different people around the country. And so we share photos from different photographers. We share stories. Recently, I've been collecting poems. We create videos and short films, vignettes. So we have a variety of clips and feature videos, behind the scenes photos that we share via the climatelisteningproject.com. So up there on climatelisteningproject.com and then on the Facebook page, you can find us Climate Listening Project and see, you know, a variety of behind the scenes and looks into who we've been talking with, from farmers to faith leaders, listening to their stories and sharing them, and traveling around the country and soon to be traveling around the world, trying to weave together these stories with the latest climate science and resilient thinking to share a message of hope.
I like that, the way you talk about weaving stories of resiliency and climate and hope, because I think a lot of us are kind of wondering what can we do. And there are lots of people out there working on solutions. So you're helping educate people about how, so more people know about what solutions are there and what options they have, and what things they can do to make a change. Cause I think a lot of us feel, I don't know if it's not hopeless, but like we have no power to make change. And so by sharing the possibilities of what it empowers people to be able to do something.
Yeah.
And so do you want to, oh, go ahead.
Like you mentioned, a lot of times I've worked with different celebrities and different thought leaders around the country. And so this project, the Climate Listening Project, is really a way for me to sort of use some of my skills, some of my passion, these things that I enjoy doing, like putting the video camera up and hearing people's stories. It's really just like my little contribution, you know, it's my contribution to the climate conversation. So in addition to sort of just the things that I try to do at home and in my daily life to live more in with the ecosystem and in not against it, then, so the daily life things are one thing, but this is, I think everybody through their art, through their work, through their daily lives, you know, have these different contributions, even if it's not necessarily the climate change affecting them directly right now, or maybe they don't realize, but because people around the world are dealing with it. And so it's good to be conscious of it and to have the conversations, to talk about our hopes and our fears and our own stories so that it can spark the social learning and innovation that cultivates community resilience.
Okay. So do you want to tell us about the faith movie that you made first, or do you want to talk about the resilient agriculture one, or what do you want to talk about first?
Yeah, the faith piece we released around the time of when the Pope's encyclical came out, before the Pope came to the United States, but back in June. And, you know, we went out and we listened to stories from faith leaders. We heard from a rabbi, a priest, a pastor, as well as families and community members, people that are working as activists or as climate scientists, all these different people, and basically made a compilation of these short quotes and stories. And that faith piece is up on the website and out there, has had a great response. We showed it at the Interfaith Power and Light event. We filmed there. We've sort of been collaborating with all these groups, from the Natural Resources Defense Council to the Creation Care Alliance of Western North Carolina, and trying to basically weave these stories together and show that these people are in fact talking about climate change. They're not only talking about it, but they are in fact often creating solutions. One of the churches that we visited is undertaking this huge solar project and is going to be powering the church from renewable energy to curb climate change. And so it's a conversation that we had an advisor, Anna Jane Joyner, who was featured in Years of Living Dangerously. And she basically helped to weave the story together to show that this is a, or to talk about that this is a moral care for creation. This is important to care for the environment around us, to care for the people around us.
Do you want to tell listeners what the Years of Living Dangerously is if they haven't heard about it? That was they put that on HBO, right? With like Harrison Ford, and am I right?
Yeah, Years of Living Dangerously was actually on Showtime last year. Oh. And they came to film in Asheville, North Carolina, where Anna Jane Joyner and I also live here. I have a place in the forest outside of Asheville, but Ian Somerhalder was the celebrity for that episode, and they worked as correspondents. So, the creators and the producers of Years of Living Dangerously just put so much amazing creative look into the people that are impacted by climate change, and combine that with these celebrity correspondents, as well as the people who are working every day to help. And so Marianne Hitt, the director of the Beyond Coal campaign with the Sierra Club, and Ian Somerhalder, Anna Jane Joyner, all these amazing individuals, climate scientists like Catherine Hayhoe, all these individuals coming together in this series. So Harrison Ford was on an episode. You had Jessica Alba, Don Cheadle, America Ferrera, all these amazing people. So we actually went up to, I'm back and forth between New York and Asheville. And so went up to New York recently and interviewed a creator and producer, Joel Bach, who is going to be featured in the next Climate Listening Project video that we released before Paris in December. But yeah, you can check it out. Years of Living Dangerously is available on all of the things. So you can find that online on Amazon and Netflix and everywhere. And it's just an amazing series. So they just announced their second season coming soon. So they are filming, and I'm really excited to see what they come out with. And it was just an honor to work on that last year in collaboration with the Sierra Club and the Beyond Coal campaign and the Ian Somerhalder Foundation and the Years Project. It's just, it was a great, great first season, and I look forward to the second season.
Excellent. Lots of good information there. So then, but maybe let's go back to the faith piece a little bit and talk about like who are some of the characters in that, and how did you maybe decide to go from a kind of religious perspective?
Anna Jane Joyner is one of the advisors on the Climate Listening Project, and her father lives in North Carolina out of the Charlotte area and is an evangelical preacher. And so during that episode 4, she, as an activist and doing her work and the conversations that she has with the faith community and her father, and through that lens. And so when we were starting the Climate Listening Project, brought on Laura Lennick as the agriculture advisor, with Anna Jean Joyner as the faith advisor, and we're working on the third video now. But basically, looking at it from these perspectives of the communities, especially in the South, where I've been focusing on for this first part of the tour, it's really nice. It's really just been a pleasure to go out and hear from faith leaders, farmers, fishermen, business owners, people that were outside of the community that I was already engaged in, maybe in the organic, sustainable communities, and get out there and hear their stories and see the ways that they are talking about climate change, the ways that they're being impacted by climate change, how it crosses over and mixes up and is part of a larger regional and even national and global picture. And so it's been sort of an evolution in following the stories from, you know, basically, how do we talk about climate change in a way that shows, you know, that inspires people. So if we're able to show this faith video, and other churches, other faith groups can take this video, show it, start a committee to create some solutions at their church, what, you know, solar panels or whatever, these small steps that people can take. So hopefully, you know, what we've wanted is these pieces to be able to be used as tools. So as Laura Lennick is traveling around, she's showing the agriculture piece that we made to colleges and universities, to farming and agriculture conferences. And it's an opportunity to show, hey, look, other people are talking about it. This is what they're seeing. This is how they're creating solutions and innovating. And that there is hope, there is positive, hopeful dialogue going on, and that we can be a part of that conversation.
Okay. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Laura Lennick's Resilient Agriculture book and piece? And like, you showed us this amazing, beautiful video that was the South, right? And then you, when you were up here, you were starting to do like the Northwest, right?
Yes. Yeah, we started on a Cultivating Resilience tour with Laura Lennick. She is the author of the new book, Resilient Agriculture, Cultivating Food Systems for a Changing Climate, from New Society Publishers. And her book has been an amazing inspiration, and so has she, just as a thought leader and as an innovator, a scientist, and a human being. So she basically did her own storytelling project, and she captured these stories to share via written word in her book. And so 25 award-winning farmers from around the country. And so we, as part of the Climate Listening Project, started that larger national Cultivating Resilience tour, first in the Southeast, focusing on food and farming and community resilience conversations. And we visited 3 farmers and tried to look at the whole plate, the typical basic American plate. And so we had the fruit and vegetable grower, we had the dairy farmer, and also the animal farmer, the meat farmer. And those farmers were Ken Dawson of Maple Spring Gardens in North Carolina, and Will Harris of White Oak Pastures in Georgia, as well as Tom Trantham in South Carolina, who's the dairy farmer. And just to meet them, to go out to the farms, to hear their stories and be able to connect them. We have different clips on the website, as well as the larger Cultivating Resilience piece that Laura Lennick basically narrates. She's the voiceover and helps to connect those stories of resilience in the way that shows the impacts, and as well as the solutions. And then we also have another piece that we created, which is a look behind the scenes, where we also show some of the other players that we heard from, including a woman named Sarah from the USDA Southeast Climate Hub, and heard about her work. And so we share that in this new clip that we just released, as well as we heard from Brian Welch, who is the former creator and publisher of Ogden Publications and amazing publisher of Mother Earth News. And so we heard from Brian Welch about how community can come together and create these solutions through these conversations. The USDA Climate Hub, the Three Farmers, Laura Lenick, and basically tried to wrap our arms the same way around the agriculture community to make this a useful tool. So we went out to the University of Montana. We showed the video from the Southeast there. Hundreds of people were there, great amount of, you know, great students and community members. And then we went to the Aero Conference. We showed the video there, great conversations there with farmers and folks in the sustainable ag community. And then we went up to Big Sandy to interview Bob Quinn of Quinn Organic Farm and his amazing products that he has. He has a new Crackling Kamut product that is delicious. He's just amazing innovator. So we will have a clip that we will release from his story, as well as sort of the beginnings then of the Northwest portion of the Cultivating Resilience Tour.
Nice. Okay. So one of the things I like about your movies is that they are brief. So it's not like you're not looking at a long time, and then they have clips and such diversity. All right. Well, what else can we share?
Thank you. We kind of look at it, you know, as how can we make these different tools? So, you know, you saw the photos. Sometimes we're making memes where we're just sharing a great photo that one of the local photographers took with a quote from one of the farmers or the individuals that shared their story. Sometimes we're sharing these longer, you know, 2-minute, 3-minute video clip that's a real vignette, a feature on a specific individual. Sometimes it is different quotes that we're weaving together to tell a story. And so it is this, how do you want to talk about climate change? Do you want to read it, see it, watch it? And we try to keep it in that way of like, it's a 10-second Instagram post, or it's a, you know, 1-minute Facebook video share. So, you know, we shared our new clip the other day. We uploaded it directly to Facebook's new, you know, platform that they have, where you can, we have a 3.5-minute clip that we uploaded, and within just a few days we had, you know, almost 2,000 views on that video, and really good sharing around the country by these different groups and conversations that were happening because of it. So for us, it's not about the views, it's about getting it to be useful, to be something that will start these new conversations or enable folks or encourage folks to accelerate conversations locally in their communities. So thank you for, you know, noticing that it is short. A lot of what we're doing is putting together these short pieces. And Laura Lenick had an interesting conversation that she shared with me recently. She had a conversation with a poet who said that it's a lot like poetry, which is, it's like amazing to me to think of it in that way, or outside of how I normally would think of it. But it really has made me think of it and as art, because he said, you know, when you're listening to all of these stories, and sometimes we'll spend a whole day with a farmer or longer. And how do you take that and share that in such a way? And so you're taking these little bits and pieces, like a poem. You're not telling the whole story. It's not a novel. It's not a whole book, you know, but you're taking these little pieces and sharing them, and hopefully getting that story across in such a way that you're able to, and I'm able to sort of honor the person that shared their story, you know, in a way that is, that makes them feel good about sharing it, and makes the person that's watching it also feel something and maybe want to even inspire them to take action.
Okay. So what kind of action would you like listeners to take? Like, what's some of the things that you've seen that people are doing that you think listeners might be, since it's kind of, you know, generally we talk about gardening and growing organically, like, is there something that you think
My experience in the whole gardening and organic world, you know, after I was doing those big interviews with the Green Festival and, you know, doing Bill McKibben and Amy Goodman and all of these amazing thought leaders, Rev Yearwood, you know, I went on a tour around California with Discovery Communications and the Chevy Volt and Food Blogger. And we interviewed all of these small farmers and organic gardeners, community gardens in food deserts, to the, you know, to biodynamic wineries. And so what, you know, I was able to do was listen to their stories, share their stories. And that's sort of with the Climate Listening Project, what I'm trying to continue, that idea of encouraging folks to tell their stories. And that to me is just, is so important, you know, and food is such a big connector to all of that, you know. And I think that getting involved locally, getting involved regionally, whether it's through a food policy council, a master gardeners group, your cooperative extension, organic grow, you know, organic conference, whatever that might be, even the farmers market, I think that going, sharing conversations around food or around a table, around a boardroom, bringing these conversations to work, whatever it may be, just I think the most important thing is sharing these stories. So, you know, when I became a gardener, I was doing it in raised beds from, when I became a gardener, I was doing it in container garden style, you know, in pots on my porch, just anything I could find and put in these pots. And now, you know, since 2012, I've been trying, after I went on that food tour, trying to really grow all these diversity of things. And in 2013, we had the wettest year on record here ever. And that's why my focus on climate has become such a big part of what I do, because I'm able to sort of take my passion for gardening, take my passion for talking about the environment and about people as part of the larger ecosystem, talk about climate change, and do it through my project. And so I think no matter what anybody is doing, wherever they work or whatever they do, you know, it's taking these stories. If you are experiencing different things on your garden, on your farm, you can take them, share them locally, share them regionally, and create these local and regional solutions to a healthier food system. So I think talking about it all and sharing information is key to this idea of a resilient future.
Mm-hmm. I saw this really cool post on Facebook this week where people were getting together and like they would take one cookbook and it was kind of like a potluck, but it was based on that cookbook. So each person would make a different recipe from the same cookbook.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a really fun idea and way to share, you know, at the same table.
Absolutely. I think that is a great idea. Doing different themes, having vegetarian nights where you're encouraging the idea that eating healthy, having all of these different colors of fruits and vegetables, going to the farmers market, all these amazing programs where chefs are working with local schools. It's beautiful because, you know, one of the farmers in the video said something about, you know, a very small percentage of people are farmers, but all of us are eaters. And it's not necessarily the farmers that are making these decisions, you know, and how they're going to grow their food. It's based a lot around the consumers and what we're asking for, what we're buying, and how we're supporting our local farmers, our local communities, and, you know, conversations and coming around the table for those conversations is a big part of that.
The other thing that you talked about was that 2013 was the wettest year on the East Coast. And that was a big thing that I learned when Laura Linick gave her talk at the Aero Conference, was that where I'm in the West and we're, you know, suffering from drought conditions and having a hard time worrying about, you know, we had huge forest fires here this weekend. I mean, this summer, nothing compared to what California went through. But that on the East Coast, it's even worse that you guys have so much more rain. Like, didn't she say it was like 70% more rain than usual? Or like you're being affected by climate change way worse than we are. Like, even though the droughts are tough, it's the water on the East Coast that's been the problem. There's way more precipitation, or it was a 70% increase in precipitation or change in precipitation or something. And that's making it harder to grow food on the East Coast, right? And just the whole eastern part, because like I had a guest from Michigan, and I forget sometimes that the Detroit's on the eastern standard time. So that was one of the big things I learned from her book and her talk that day.
Yeah, and I think the hardest part is that it's unpredictable. So whereas that was the wettest year, just a few years before that, there was drought. There was forest fires here. What will it be next year? We don't know. We're having right now, as we speak, the largest storm, the largest hurricane ever recorded in the history coming at the country, at our continent. And so, you know, we just don't know. And so, you know, from Laura Lennox's book, that really inspires me is the way she talks about diversity. And so having a diversity of crops where, you know, we're seeing these amazing farmers in her book sharing stories of, you know, Tom Trantham, the dairy farmer, with his 12 Aprils, so that whether it's a drought or the wettest year on record, he's ready. He's able to throw down new seed, grow something different, and adapt and thrive, whatever the conditions are. You have other farmers that are planting this diversity of vegetables, and no matter what, you know, if it does frost early or late, or there's some crazy storm that comes through, or it is a drought, or it's the wettest, they're ready, and they have that diversity of crops. It's not a monoculture. And that goes the same for the other farmer that we saw from Will Harris at White Oak Pastures. He has this amazing diversity of animals. You know, the soil there is so healthy at all three of these farms. The soil helps with drought and with rains. And so, you know, they're doing these different, more, you know, just diverse and considering the ecosystem, considering that they can't necessarily just rely on what is said last year or what happened last year, but being able to adapt and thrive in any condition. And so I love to see those stories in Laura's book, not only of that, but also of communities coming together to lift up through these farmers in these times of need. And so I think it's I think there's a lot of good lessons in there of how we are going to, in fact, not only adapt, but thrive and create these solutions and innovate, not only after we're seeing these impacts of climate change, but preemptively as well.
Nice. Yeah. All right. So listeners, so today is Friday, October 23rd, when Dana and I are talking. And so and it's funny because I just got off the phone with a friend of mine in California, and he knows people that are down in Puerto Vallarta trying to get out because the hurricane is just about to hit. And I guess it's just come so fast that they didn't have notice.
I don't always go on, like, you know, real political about things, because climate change is something that so much affects all of us. And I don't understand how it became divided, you know. It shouldn't really be a part of what, you know, climate change.
Politics. We should be working together.
But I do want to go to the fact of, like, you know, if we continue to have this extreme droughts in certain parts of the world and extreme storms as well, we can't also look at the world in the way that we do now, because the migrations that are already happening, like what we're seeing in Syria.
It was big on the news this morning.
Yeah. I mean, Mexico is a part of our continent. It's about to get hit really bad. And we're a part of this global world, on this small planet in this large universe, right? In this galaxy. So it's like, you know, we're all in this together. We really are. And we'll be better if we work together.
Mm-hmm. And your project, I think, is really helping people. Like, that was one of the great things about the faith video, is that you have all different faiths represented.
I wish that we had more. You know, I definitely am continuing this project and hope to capture more stories and different groups, different backgrounds, as much diversity as I can. And I did think about trying to be as inclusive as possible while filming. And, you know, our farmer video, for example, the agriculture piece, you know, in the Southeast, it is actually really important to show these, you know, traditional Southern farmers in the way that we did. And that's why we decided to do it. And the faith video, it was not so planned. We sort of had open events where we invited as many people as we could to come out. And so a lot of that was just based around who we were able to get on different days, but we definitely want to continue to capture more stories of as many different faith backgrounds as we possibly can.
Excellent. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to share with us today?
I don't know. I just am really excited about what you're doing, because what you're doing is also sharing stories and having these conversations. So I definitely thank you, Jackie, for what you're doing through this show, accelerating these organic conversations and gardening conversations. It's really important not only to support these farmers that are local and sustainable, but also to try to grow something ourselves, right? And it's amazing. It's just an amazing experience in so many ways to get in the dirt and grow your own food. And so I think it's wonderful that you're encouraging and helping to facilitate those conversations around organic gardening. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Well, I think, I mean, for one, I've certainly learned more than anybody else since I started doing this show. And it's totally inspired me to dig in the dirt more. And yeah. Also, I think a lot of people are learning that, like, one of the things you said is about how, like, you can, their resilience, like, you know, one thing, when you grow your garden, like, one thing you might struggle with, it might not come out the way you want it, but more often than not, like, a theme on my show has been way more things are successful. So if you're scared to start a garden, if you've never had a garden, you know, the more things you plant, and I do, you know, say start small, don't get like that. And we all get it. I mean, I'm the worst for getting like, oh, go to the gardening, the nursery in the spring. And I'm like, let's plant some of this and come home with, I think I bought 75 packs of seeds last winter. Mike is like, where are you going to plant all this? And like, you know, not planning, like planning my garden is going to be one of my big goals for next spring. But, how, even though some things might not come out the way you want, more often than not, you're going to be way more successful. More things are going to grow. Most people, most of the things that they plant do grow. It's a pretty simple thing to do, to put a seed in the dirt. And, you know, there's very simple things you can do that don't take a lot of work to grow some of your own food. So thanks for sharing everything that you're doing. I love your project and the climate listening and the way that you're reaching out to different people around the United States and around the world and, you know, engaging in those conversations. 'Cause that's really where it all starts. You know, in America, we have such power and our voice and it all starts with talking to each other. And even though it does seem like we're very partisan, we all live right next door to our neighbors. And, you know, you can have totally different political views, but yet almost everybody agrees.
Yeah.
We all want healthy water. We all want healthy air to breathe. We all, you know, a lot of people, everybody looks at the same picture of a beautiful day or can enjoy a beautiful day, even if you're live, you know, whether you're on the soccer field, you know, watching your kids play soccer or you're out in the woods on a nature walk or even in Central Park in New York City, you know, everybody kind of appreciates the same thing. And we all ultimately, I think, want the same thing.
That's beautifully put.
Oh, thanks. Well, thanks for taking some time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here. And in this work, sometimes it's, you know, these long campaigns and putting work in for things. And so it's nice to come and sit down at the table with you today and just talk about it and also to celebrate gardening, which is the opposite of that. You know, you plant that seed, you watch it grow and it fruits for you and it's harvested, it's delicious. And it's, you know, it's the simple things in life that are just really, really nice. So thank you for taking the time.
Yeah. You bet. You remind me when you say that, like, because right now it's been, people have been so busy. A lot of the gardeners that I've been reaching out to and farmers have been telling me, call me back in a month, right after, you know, after Thanksgiving, at Christmas, you know, December, New Year's, like, it's, people are so busy right now. So I sort of want to encourage listeners to get out there and go to your farmers markets and reach those local farmers who are working so hard right now to bring you some natural food and, just, you know, good luck to everybody. And if anybody, how do they reach out to you? How do they connect with you?
I would love for people to connect with me at climatelisteningproject.com and also on Facebook at Climate Listening Project.
Cool. Thanks so much, Dana.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you to everybody out there. And please do connect and share your stories. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to check out our website, organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com. And you'll see the links to everything that we've talked about today in the show notes page and all the other episodes there. You can easily search for people by name. You can download our ebook on organic gardening basics and subscribe to our newsletter for updates and just different things that are going on. Thanks for listening. And remember to